Hello, everyone. Hey, y'all. My name's Evan. If I haven't met y'all before, it's nice to see all of you. And I just say today, as Brady was saying, it's our 6th anniversary. Y'all, I'm really thankful for this place. I've been here for a few years now, and if it is like your first time here tonight, or I don't know if you've been coming for a while, I just hope you know that this place is really special. It's been very, very important to me. And this is the safe place for you. If you've, I don't know, never been to church before, if you've been burned by it before, I don't know, this is a place to ask questions. And I hope that you do, and I hope you feel welcome here. But I'm excited to be talking to y'all tonight. One thing that if you've ever talked to me before and we've had maybe 3 or 4 conversations, it probably will have come up that I have a really pretty wall of running medals in my room. Now, I'm very proud of these because they're very, very pretty. They're so shiny. Most of them have Mickey Mouse on them, and that just makes me so happy. And then one of the reasons I'm happy about this is because I never thought I would be an athlete. Like, growing up, I didn't do sports at all unless I absolutely had to, like in school or something like that. But no, that was never my thing at all. But it turns out I learned about this thing called Run Disney, and if you give Disney money and you run or like run across this course in the time provided, they will give you this really, really shiny thing at the end of it. And those, they're just so pretty. I don't know if I can say that enough. But so I did a few of these. I did some half marathons a few times, and they're fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed them. And I didn't really train too much for them, though, unless you count costume making as training. And if you count that, I put in a lot of hours into this. But yeah, I didn't train too much for them. But one day I decided, I was doing the marathon weekend here at Disney World. If you're familiar with that, they have a half marathon one day, full marathon the other. You can do different combinations. And so I did the half marathon, and I was like, wow, you know, it's prettier than a half marathon medal, a full marathon medal, because it's a little bit bigger, and I bet it's a little bit shinier too. So I signed up for this full marathon, and I thought, okay, if I'm doing a full marathon, I think that's like twice as much as the half marathon, so I need to actually train for it this time, because I'm pretty sure legend has it the first person that ran a marathon died, and I was not interested in dying when I crossed the finish line. That, I mean, like, the medals are nice, but I just don't think they're worth it. So I said, I'm going to train for this, but the problem is that they make you sign up like 10 months in advance. And so I'm really optimistic in like April or March or whenever that is. But whenever it comes to the summertime, whenever it's time to actually start training, it's hot outside. And I don't like to sweat too much. So I'll make a lap around the block, call it a day. Good. But then at the time of my first marathon, I was living in Nashville at the time, and it's cold there in the winter as opposed to here. And so I didn't want to run in the cold either, because I could slip on some ice and, you know, then how am I supposed to run with a broken leg? You know, like that, I just can't do that. So before you know it, I'm standing in the corral on race day, and I haven't put in any time at all. And I think, I'm going to be just like the first person that ran this. This is the end. This is the last thing I'll do. But it turns out running 26.2 miles without putting any effort into it is not fun. It's awful, just terrible. Because like you hurt the whole time, and places that you didn't know that you could hurt start to, like my arm, like where did that come from? I'm not even using that right now. And then I had to walk way more than I anticipated. And so it was like really heavy on that walk run combo that I was doing. But then you cross the finish line, get the medal. Yes, that is fantastic. But then, like, the entire week afterwards, I did nothing. So couldn't leave my bed. In fact, after, like, completing the marathon, my legs just didn't work. I looked, and you're useless. And so my family, they, like, left me. They were all here running the race with me. But they ditched me because I was moving too slow. And at one point, I was staying at the Grand Floridian with my family. And I went there by myself because they had ditched me. I was making my way down the stairs in the lobby. Have no idea why I took the stairs. There was an elevator right there. But at one point, I made it halfway down, and I couldn't make it any further. And I looked up, I was like, ooh, that looks like Everest. So I sent a voice memo to my brother, and I said, Christopher, that's my brother's name, I'm not trying to be too dramatic, but I'm stuck on the stairs in the lobby of the Grand Floridian, and he did not come to help me. So basically, I did this, and I did this two more times. So, like, I never learned my lesson because I think I thought, like, okay, well, next time I'll train. You know, I'll put in the effort next time, just not right now. I've got a lot on my plate. Or I think I magically thought I would get to the marathon and suddenly become an Olympic marathon runner. That was honestly my thought process. But I did this, I ran three marathons without training every time. Hated myself, was miserable, got the medal, but at what cost? You know, like, it was terrible. And I started to realize, though, okay, things have to change, because surely there's got to be a better way to do this, to where I'm not hating myself or miserable for the next week. Because, and I heard a rumor that some people actually train for these. I know, crazy that they train, but I thought things have to change now. So I really decided it was time to either quit running, because I can't just do it because of the shiny medals, or I have to put in the effort to become a runner. So that was my thought process last year. I knew things had to change. About that time, there was a group of us that started going through the spiritual disciplines. Now, we toss this word around a lot here at Mosaic, so you've probably heard it if you've been here for any amount of time. But basically, a spiritual discipline, Dallas Willard has a really good quote about this. He says, "The disciplines are activities of the mind and body purposely undertaken to bring our personality and total being into effective cooperation with the divine order." Or more simply put, the means by which God has given us to cultivate intimacy with him, as demonstrated by Jesus. So all throughout last year, we went through some spiritual disciplines. And if you're not familiar with them, we have a list up here. There's things like silence and solitude, prayer, fasting, study, meditation, simplicity, secrecy, community. You can read the rest there. But what we want to do here at Mosaic, and what we started realizing last year, is that we need to learn what it looks like to actually follow Jesus. We've boiled that down to a few things. We've boiled it down to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to partner alongside Jesus. And the best way to do this is by looking at Jesus, looking in the Gospels, and doing exactly what he did based on the example that he set for us through this list of things right here. And this isn't like some legalistic thing where it's completely works-based, but no, this is, if you want deeper intimacy with Jesus, this is exactly what we get to do. And it's interesting because we use the word discipline to go with it here, which means these aren't easy. This isn't something that just naturally, like, happens one day, that to where we're perfect at every single thing that's up there. No, this requires time and effort. And as we looked at these things, my approach to them was the exact same as it had been to running. I said, like, hard pass on everything. I thought, I am doing just fine on my own. Like, I'm going to get my Christian participation medal, so why would I put in any of the effort right now whenever these things are going to be hard and they're going to take a lot out of me? And so basically, we broke them up last year all throughout. You know, we would do a different one each month, and I said no every single time. I was like a child throwing a temper tantrum, essentially, because I would not have it, because it just seemed like, I was like, I'm doing just fine. I don't need to implement anything else in my life. Don't tell me what to do, basically. But it's interesting because as I started to dabble in each one of them, I realized, okay, there's actually something here. This is actually kind of nice. And I started realizing, wow, my relationship with Jesus actually is improving here. And it's no different. And I started to look at it the exact same way as training for the marathon. So what I did last year is I slowly started building up my endurance and becoming a runner. So started out with an app for running, not the spiritual disciplines. Of course, that would be nice if there was one. I slowly started building up. So I'd run just a little bit every day and then build up with that slowly over the year, so that I was finally able to actually go out there, run, and not hate myself. It was so fantastic. And so it's interesting because that very same principle, I've been able to see that applied to these spiritual disciplines here. Now, I don't know if you can relate to this, but do you ever look at someone like a friend who's like a super strong Christian or a pastor or a celebrity pastor or whatever it may be and think, they have this awesome relationship with Jesus that I just don't have? Or sometimes you think, God, I keep praying for you to show up, but why aren't you here in this situation like I want you to be? Or why don't I experience you like this person does? Or whatever it may be. But the thing is, Jesus has laid out in the Gospels exactly what we can do to have deeper intimacy, to pursue him, and to draw nearer to him. It's almost as if he is reaching out his hand and inviting us to follow after him and inviting us to dive deeper in with him. And all we have to do is step out and engage in these spiritual disciplines. And the fortunate thing, though, is it is a lot of work, but we're all going to do it together here as a community. We're going to take this entire year and we're going to work through these disciplines together. And so throughout the year of 2018, we're going to take one a month. So last month, Brady led us through Silence and Solitude. If you weren't here, please go back, listen to that message because it was really good. And he gives a lot more information about spiritual disciplines in general. So we're going to take one a month and we're going to walk with each other, slowly building on each other as we implement these into our daily life. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is meditation. And now, I don't know, you may not be able to relate to this, but I was terrified of the word meditation whenever I first heard it, because what immediately popped in my mind was sitting on a yoga mat in a room full of strangers while someone chanted over me. And I just was not interested in that. And honestly, I'm not flexible enough for yoga. That doesn't work for me. And sometimes in some contexts, meditation will even have kind of an evil connotation to it. And so I said, nope, I don't want anything to do with that. Turns out, though, I did not have a correct view of what actual biblical meditation is. So if you want to open up your Bible and turn to Psalm 1:1-3 with me, or I believe it's going to be up there on the screen as well. But this is a great opportunity for us to actually see what is biblical meditation. So Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So here in Psalm, the Bible, it kind of describes to us what the ideal reader of the Bible looks like. It's someone who meditates on the law of the Lord, referring to the Bible right here. And the word meditate that's used there, it's a Hebrew word, haggah, if you're familiar with Hebrew. And it means to meditate or to ponder, to mutter or to speak quietly. And then kind of a more practical definition for us here, meditate, to focus one's thoughts on, reflect or ponder over, to think deeply, contemplate, muse, deliberate, ruminate. That's a fantastic word there. But essentially, the goal here is to slowly ponder, slowly think over the word of God right here, and take your time and let it impact you. But I have to tell you, I often struggle with reading the Bible. I don't know if you can relate to this, but a lot of times, sometimes I'll read, do like my quiet time in the morning. Then later in the day, someone will ask me, "Hey, what have you been reading in the Bible?" And then my mind goes completely blank. And so I say something like, "Jesus, I don't know. He's great." And so then suddenly, you don't know what you're talking about. But But James actually describes this type of reader when he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks at himself, who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, so James is describing, you know, this contrast between just like hearing it and hearing the word of God and not doing anything, but then, or having it really impact you and flow out into your actions that you're doing. And that is exactly what meditation can do for each of us. It's this transition where it goes from just hearing information and having it go just right into your mind or one ear out the other, but letting it come into your mind, hearing the word of God or reading the word of God, whatever it may be, and then letting it seep into you and take root in your heart and soul and slowly impact you as it becomes stronger and stronger. But a lot of times, some of us, like me, have what's called Bible ADD. I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but I'll describe it to you and see if this maybe is something that you can relate to. But essentially, I will wake up in the morning and think, I want to know everything that's in here. Like, by the end of the day, I want to have this all memorized. And I want to think like, I want to be that person that you're sitting across at coffee, that they have all the wisdom in the world from this Bible. And it's just all the biblical truths are pouring out of them. But that doesn't happen just in my 15-minute quiet time that I'm doing. And so what I'll do is I get a little frustrated sometimes, or I get a little antsy, and I'll pick like a random book of the Bible. So maybe I turn to Luke. So I start reading in Luke, but then I think, oh man, I'm getting Bible FOMO right now. Let me move over to Galatians and see what's going on over there, because I don't want to miss out on anything that's in there. But then after a few chapters, I think, oh, okay, well, I really bet Philippians is better for me right now. So, but if I continue on this path slowly, I only know the first few paragraphs of every book of the Bible, and I don't actually know what anything else says. And it's no surprise to anyone in here, but we really do struggle with patience a lot of the time. And so that's exactly where the discipline aspect of meditation comes into play, because it forces us to slow down. When I think about this idea of really slowing down and how it kind of is contrary to a lot of what I want to do, I think about cold brew coffee. Now, I've known for a while that I struggle with patience, and I actually implemented cold brew as a way to work on this discipline here, because with cold brew, I mean, it's so delicious, but it takes, the kind I make, it takes 24 hours to brew, but it's worth it because, so I have a special pitcher that you put the grounds in there, you slowly pour the water over it, and then you let it sit in the fridge for 24 hours. So if you're really thirsty, you get another drink, you know, but it takes this time, because if you just pour water over coffee grounds and then try to drink it, it's gonna taste like water with maybe just like an aftertaste of coffee. But if you take the full 24 hours that it requires and let it see, or really let it steep in there and grow stronger and stronger, you'll see the color change to where it's this dark, rich color. It's not light like the water anymore. You almost can't see through it anymore because it's taken time to impact the water and really grow and become something so strong and so delicious too. But that's exactly what meditation does. If you take the time to sit in the passage, let it seep over you. Maybe as you're reading through a passage, think about the details of it. You know, think, what's going on? Maybe, what was the weather like? What does this word mean? What are the settings? What are the thoughts or feelings that are going on here? Maybe as you're reading, you pause on something and spend an entire day just pondering it, thinking about it, recalling it. It becomes so much stronger in you because you've taken the time to let it grow deep inside of you. Now, one of my favorite aspects of meditation that I've really been able to see make a cool impact on me has been memorization. A lot of times, maybe you'll hear memorization, you think that this is just like a Christian checklist type thing where we can almost keep a scorecard against each other and like, I've memorized this many verses, so I'm this much more of a Christian than you. No, that's not the purpose that we want to have for this, but instead, almost think of it, this is an opportunity, a way to take the word of God, take these verses, take passages, and store them up in your heart. And it's really cool because we can see a really neat example when Jesus did this. If you want to open up your Bibles and turn to Matthew 4, 1 through 11, it'll be up on the board or screen there as well too. But Matthew 4, so it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Now this is really cool because, I mean, when you think of Jesus, he is human and God at the same time, and he has the power to do anything. I mean, like you read about healings, things like that, but when he is being tempted, when he's in this place of intense need where he's been fasting and he has all these emotions going on, I would imagine, and he uses scripture, the word of God stored up in his heart as his ammunition when he is being tempted there. So clearly, Jesus sees the value in scripture, the value in treasuring this word of God and using it whenever it's needed. And that is exactly the invitation that all of us have right now to store up the word of God just like Jesus did. And there's a few other instances where we can see the Bible advising us to do this. If you look at Colossians 3:16, let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Psalm 119:11 says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Meditation and memorization, it's been good for me. I love this discipline. Honestly, whenever we were talking about disciplines, I mentioned earlier that the meditation aspect was a little, you know, I had some reservations with that. But once we said memorization, I realized, wait, that's something I've been doing. I didn't honestly know that it was a discipline. But because I've been able to see the value in it and what it has done in my personal life and the way it's impacted just a lot of the things that I do. Many of us here work at Disney. Or if you don't, you work somewhere probably. And one of the things at Disney, because that's where I work, and so a Bible is not Disney look. You can't walk out on stage holding the Bible. I mean, so I work in guest relations, and I mean, like, I carry an iPad when I'm working in full plaid. It's just I can't carry this out there. However, I can store things in my mind and in my heart and have them impact me. So it's because whenever I am out on stage, or whenever I'm out, wherever I may be, I'll think about it while I'm on stage. So if I'm working as guest relations and maybe someone comes in and they start yelling at me for something that is beyond my control, because I have meditated on scripture, because I have the word of God in my heart impacting me, that then is what naturally will spring forth because I've stored it up and because it is right there. So whenever I'm getting, you know, a lot of angry words or something like that, then compassion is what comes out of me, or kindness is comes out of me, not because of my own doing, or not because that is what I would naturally do. Naturally, it would be anger from me, but because of the word of God, that is what impacts me. If I find myself maybe in a place where I see drifting into a trail of lust, because I have the word of God, I'm able to use those truths from the Bible to stop that, so that we're not, so I don't enter into a place of sin. And it goes into so many different places. We're able to use the word of God to stop sin or to combat it, just like Jesus used this word of God whenever he was being tempted. We're able to enter into that. And I noticed this a while back, because so I mentioned I'm in guest relations now. Love my role right now. It's fantastic. I used to be in a role, however, that was not my favorite. And leadership was great. People I worked with were fantastic. But the role itself, it was just honestly emotionally draining and just like really taxing on me. And I realized for a while I was letting it get to me, and I was angry and sad all the time because it just was, it was hard. But then I realized, okay, what if there is a way to change my attitude here, or change my approach to work? And the way I found to do that was by memorizing scripture and repeating it over and over and over again to myself. So that's what I started to do. I memorized Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and I've allowed that to impact my role. And now that I work in a new role in guest relations, I've reappropriated it a little bit. And I wanna kind of invite you into what that looks like for me on a daily basis and how that has impacted me. So every single day, as I'm getting ready for work, as I'm putting on my costume, I say this verse. I say, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then this next part, I say it as I'm putting on my costume so that I feel that I am wrapped in the word of God. And if that's weird for you, I'm sorry, but it's a way that I've allowed scripture to enter into just my life in this really cool way. So I say, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. So this is going to be my black guest relations belt with gold buckle. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So if I happen to be wearing full plaid, this will be my plaid vest. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, because I bought my shoes at Costuming, these are no longer New Balance non-slip sneakers. They are the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And this is my name tag that I've written this verse on the back of, because I want a constant reminder of the word of God that is impacting me. So in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Like I said, I work in guest relations, so read into that as much as you want. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And then to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I say this every day because I need this truth in my life as I step into work. It is not easy. The jobs that we do, they're difficult, they're taxing, they're emotional. And we need to know that we have God on our side. When we cannot bring the word of God into work with us, we store it in our hearts so it is prepared whenever we need it. And you better believe that this passage and these other passages that I have memorized, they mean so much more to me now than they did whenever I first memorized them, because they have taken a year or 2 years steeping in my heart here, getting stronger and stronger and revealing new things to me as I say them, because that is the power of the word of God. It reveals new things and it can impact us in new ways all the time. And meditation, it's what takes the Bible, these words that are on a page, from being just that to us to being alive and challenging for us every single day. And so I want this to impact our community because it's impacted me and I see the value of it. And I believe that this can impact all of you. So I have a challenge for us. Throughout each time we do one of these disciplines, we're gonna have a challenge because we're gonna do it together as a community, because it is, as you'll learn later, community is a discipline as well. And this is a great opportunity for us to enter into it together. So this week, I'm gonna challenge all of us to take a week and focus on Matthew 5, 13 through 16. So it's gonna be up there. And I'd like to keep it up there if we can just for a little bit, so that you can take your time and you can read it if you'd like. Or I believe we're going to do communion later, so you can reflect on this during that time as well if you'd like. But as you're reading this passage, dedicate an entire week to it. If it helps you, set a timer for 15 minutes and set aside this time to reflect on this passage. So start off by praying. Ask God to reveal truth to you from these words up here. Ask God to, you know, what he has for you in this. And so take some time, read it aloud. The original Hebrew for meditate, haggah, means to mutter, to speak quietly. So say these words aloud. Repeat them to yourself and think about some things. This is a pretty visual verse or set of verses here. So picture them. Imagine it in your mind and make it real to yourself and let it impact you. And then when you're ready, start memorizing it. Challenge yourself to do that. There's a lot of different ways that you can do this. One for me, I get a notes app on my phone and I section off whatever I'm going to work on. You can put post-it notes around your room. You can get not Sharpies, that's the opposite of what you do. Get Expo markers and write on your window or something like that. There's a great app called Versus that even will incorporate games or something into it. It'll leave out the words, or you'll word scramble, whatever. It's wonderful because these are tools that you can do that will help you to store the word of God in your heart and let it impact you. I want to invite the band. Y'all can go ahead and come back up here now if you'd like. And as I think about all these, the way meditation has really impacted me, think back to my wall of medals that I mentioned. And it's fine to have, you know, a bunch of participation medals. They're all really special to me, and I remember the memories that I had with them, but I have to ask myself, do I actually want to have a wall of participation medals, or do I actually want to be a runner? Do I want to be able to run that marathon knowing that I've put in the time and effort to do it in the way that I can most successfully do it? And so thinking about that as we think about following Jesus, do we just want a Christian participation medal? Or do you actually want to put in the time, put in the effort, put in the wonderful time with the Word of God that it'll take to be a follower of Christ? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this community. Father, I thank you that we have a space here that we can challenge each other, that we can step into these spiritual disciplines. Father, thank you for being a father to us that it wants to invite us into this space, that desires to have deeper intimacy with all of us. So I pray that over this next week, as we are focusing on this passage from Matthew,